podcast brought to you by the Triad Network. This podcast is designed to share trending topics occurring within the world and our communities and bring them a behavioral and mental health perspective.
Welcome to Behavior Health Today. I'm your host, Dr. Graham Taylor. And today we're going to be concluding our conversation on growing your private practice with my guest, Joe Sanok from Practice of the Practice. In our last episode, we talked about ways to rethink your private practice management and aligning your business plan to focus on your personal fulfillment. We'll resume our conversation today with an exercise that I participated in that helped me assess opportunities in my own private practice, even after 25 years of experience. I invite you, our listeners, to follow along and record your own answers to consider your own professional future. Let's go to the other end of the continuum. Let's look through the lens of practice of the practice. And what would you encourage, let's say, for someone like me, who's been in private practice now for about 25 years? And what types of things might you encourage me to consider for my professional future?
Well, Graham, I'd first want to ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Please do.
So first, I'd love to hear, when you're working with a certain type of client, which clients do you leave with more energy rather than less?
Usually couples, and usually those working through some traumas in their lives and developing a more valid self-meaning of who they really are.
Okay, so let's just do the couples one. So what type of couples are you working with that give you a lot of energy?
Those that come in with an openness of an understanding that I bring something to this relationship, but I'm not sure what it is. And if I can be clear about what that is and recognize that through this, we can actually grow stronger than we've ever been. And within this relationship, there lies the potential for there to be corrective emotional experiences had that we're both looking for in our lives, but we get a chance now within this marriage to experience.
Hmm. And I imagine, you know, doing this for 20 plus years, that you probably see similar questions or kind of things over and over, especially in the first 3 to 5 sessions. What would be just some kind of pillars in those first, say, 5 sessions that if people came to you knowing those things before they started counseling with you, that they would be just so much farther along in the process?
It's really good. We use some tools. I do co-therapy with a colleague of mine. We developed a new model, a 4-way model. And what we're using that we kind of bring them in with, but we haven't maybe necessarily maybe operationalized it in a way that we possibly could. Now you get me thinking here. Appreciate the questions, by the way. We use the early memories questionnaire. We use a pretty detailed family history. And then we also bring in some EMDR if it's necessary to help work through some traumas.
All right. So if we take just like that early childhood questionnaire, if we broke that down and said, what would that look like as a module or two in an e-course where you and this other therapist do a couple of videos, maybe you have some worksheets. So I would say if we can systematize kind of the first 5 sessions and then turn it into an e-course, turn it into some downloads, that then can be something that you gift to your clients, or you say you include it in the price, maybe you sell it for $197 or $497, whatever you end up selling it for. But that then becomes a product that you could do something else with. So really imagine you create this robust, like five session, like speed up progress for couples that are in a particular issue. Then I'd say, you know, coming on to therapy podcasts and talking about that particular e-course, you know, it's $497 per couple. Here's how it works. It gives you this sort of assessment as a therapist. You get these guiding things. Also, your clients are highly prepared. Also, it's an additional income source. So, you know, we give you, you know, you can purchase a certain number of these and choose to sell them at a different rate than that. So then you have all of these therapists that are doing that. And maybe you even, you know, on the podcast you promoted or on other people's podcasts, promote it. Now you're starting to take something that you know inside and out that is going to help your clients, but then also it helps other people that maybe they say, I want training from Graham. Like I want to, you know, fly out and hang out with him and learn this method and be certified. And so maybe there's a certification element where you say, you know, it's $2,000. I do it, you know, once a year. Mm-hmm. I only take 50 people. You make 100K in a week. And you're like, okay, I have all these certified people. And then they just get access maybe to the assessment for free because they dropped 2K. So then you're like, okay, 100K in a week. That's a pretty awesome week. What else can I do here? Well, now I have a level 2, but you don't know. I mean, there's lots of ways that we can, once you get that audience, you can ask the audience what they want next. So that you're basically ensure that you're going to sell out in the next time. So that's where I would start.
And that, folks, is exactly what practice of the practice does right there. That was beautiful. that's what it gets to look like, isn't it, Joe? That's it right there, just in a yeah. nutshell.
It's interesting. I think that later in our lives, you know, when we've been in the field for a while, we don't see just how much we know. Yeah. I actually had this consulting client that was outside of the therapy industry. He's an oil and gas guy who he is an amazing engineer at storing oil and gas underground in an ecological way so that when the cost of oil goes up, you can sell it at a premium. So that's what he's trained people for his entire life. So we walked through that exact process that I just did with you. And what he did is he created oil and gas school. And it was a 4-day event where people, this was pre-COVID, where people would fly in to work with him for 4 days. They would spend, I think it was $3,000 or $4,000 per person from their team. Most teams would send 3 or 4 people. So he would have 50 to 100 people in these 4-day events. He would rent out a hotel place for it. And his first time he did it, he grossed $75,000 in 4 days. And it's like, people need these trainings. Yeah. And now, I mean, I ran into him at the airport before all of the COVID stuff. And he's like, he gave me the biggest hug. And he just said, you absolutely changed my life, because he's passing on information to the next generation. Yeah. I mean, yes, there's the money side. That's awesome to make that kind of money in 4 days. But he has a skill that very few people have, and he's teaching people how to store oil and gas in a way that doesn't screw up the environment. Yeah. Like, for his emotions later in life to feel like all the stuff he's acquired during this lifetime, he gets to hand off to the next generation. Like, that's amazing. And he can go on any trip with his wife that he wants because he has plenty of money now.
Isn't that great? That's so good. So good. With all this kind of happening in the world too at this time, and you've got your finger on the pulse of a number of things and having a lot of people come to you, we can see such a growing need for mental health services. From your perspective and where you find yourself engaged, what are some of the areas of mental health need and opportunity that you're seeing? And what are you encouraging some of the practitioners that are coming to you, in addition to, you know, what their design and interests are in, but what are you seeing in terms of some of the needs that you're encouraging people to consider in terms of opportunity to practice in?
I mean, I think I would start with the personal before we kind of go to the national or global. I think just looking at what COVID has done, it has made everybody question almost everything. We question why we're working 40 hours a week. We are questioning whether it's relationships or ways we live life. Why don't I spend as much time outside? Why am I so unhealthy? When you go through something like what we've gone through, there's been almost a personal but also international reset or questioning that's happening. And I think that's important. And I also think that within that, it is important to have very strong, competent guides. Right now, you see a ton of self-proclaimed coaches out there, influencers, people that have a mouth and they use it, but they don't necessarily have the education, the backing, or the ethical standards to hold them accountable. So more than ever, I would say that what I'm seeing is, first and foremost, clinicians need to do as much of their own self-care as possible. We have an event called Slowdown School that we do almost every year, not during all of COVID, but where people fly into Northern Michigan, we go hiking for a few days, we get massages and just genuinely relax, and then run full tilt towards their business for a couple of days. Awesome. We know that the brain does its best work when it slows down, when it's optimized, when it's not stressed out and maxed out. In our world right now, most people are stressed out and maxed out. So clinicians, first and foremost, have to do their own grounding to be in the best possible place for themselves and others. Next, they need to enter the public space more aggressively. And I don't mean being mean aggressive. I mean active on social media, active in communities, actively guiding the conversation as a well-educated person that has the ethics behind it. If we don't, then all the quote influencers and self-proclaimed gurus and self-proclaimed coaches out there will do it. And that will be to the detriment of society. And so we who are professionals need to be out there, need to get over our fear of being seen, need to get over not wanting to do a Facebook Live, not wanting to be on Instagram, feeling like people know too much about us, like all those things that people use as excuses as to why they don't want to be seen. Our message is bigger than what our clients hear. Our message is bigger than our own office. And if we don't go out there, then we are part of the problem. So I would say that would be the second thing. And then third, operationalize what you're doing and outsource as much as you can. And so once you get your social media going, once you get your practice going, you shouldn't be answering the phone. You shouldn't be scheduling. those are all expenses to your energy and your time. It is better to hire people at $15 an hour to answer your phones so that you can go do the really big work. Yeah. Now, part of that sometimes feels entitled, like I'm too good to take out the trash. It's not coming from a place of I'm too good to do it. It's, is my energy best spent on this? I haven't mowed my lawn in 4 years because I realized I don't want to spend every Saturday walking back and forth just to save $35. I'd rather have, you know, a full weekend with my family. It's an energy and it's a time expense. And so I would say you want to do what you do best and outsource the rest and keep refining what that best is, because what's best today, a year from now, probably won't be the best use of your time.
Yeah, that's really good. I love that encouragement around ways that we get to rethink and actually ways that we can take active and assertive steps towards ways to kind of to take our condition and make opportunities occur. And maybe you've already kind of answered this. I know we're kind of beginning to kind of wind down for today. I'd like to seed an idea. I'd love to come back with you one time and talk about, if we could, ways to think about money. We as practitioners don't get taught very well how to think about money. And there's oftentimes a conflict, almost like a moral dilemma that we find ourselves in. So can I seed an idea that maybe at some point you and I can come back and talk about ways to reframe a healthier way to think about the making of money while being a mental health practitioner? Because I think sometimes that might even stunt our growth or even entering into something like practice of the practice.
Yeah, 100%. I'd love to have a bigger and deeper conversation around that, because that money mindset is one of the most pervasive mindsets. I remember I was at the LPCs of Northern Michigan summer picnic a few years ago, and we're all eating, you know, and it's all private practice clinicians at the table I was at. And this one guy said, man, I sometimes feel like I'm just, you know, just above poverty, just above some of my clients in the way that I'm living. And this other one echoed it and said, oh my gosh, yeah, seriously, how can you make it on $63.12 from Priority Health? And like, they're all lamenting about money. And at the time I didn't speak up, now I would have, but I was charging $175 private pay and all of my clinicians were charging $165 private pay. At the end of my career, when I sold my practice, I was $250 per session in a counselor saturated area, all private pay. The way they thought about money was from that martyr mindset. It was from the kind of classic social worker, societal, like money's bad, Scrooge McDuck, like people with money are always evil. And like I said at the beginning, money amplifies what's already there. And there's so many techniques and things that you can learn about money of, you know, how to even just like set yourself up and your family up in a different way. Like, for example, we have our family podcast. I talked to my accountant about like, how can I legally pay my kids for doing this podcast and then put all of that money into a retirement fund so that as a 6 and 9 year old, you know, they're getting $3,000 a year into this full market index Vanguard fund that statistically, if we just put in $6,000 over 2 years, like they're going to have like, I think it's like $3.2 million when they end up retiring. That's the kind of lifestyle change that I can affect the next generation with in the power that I have. And I also need to teach them, when you turn 18 and this is all legally yours, yeah, you could pull out that $50,000 that's sitting there. Or let's talk about money as a six-year-old and run some calculators so you can see the millions of dollars you'll have. So there's an added level there. So yeah, I would love to have a much deeper conversation.
We are definitely coming back to this, both as a clinician's way of thinking about this, so we avoid that, you know, that moral quandary that we can easily get in, and that martyr mindset that can just be so stifling. And what it does, it stifles our ability to provide the services that we can provide, as well as some of the ways to think about money and to grow that wealth in a way that can be really, really beneficial to ourselves, our time, how it's spent, next generation. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Continuing education is both a requirement and a learning opportunity, but finding the right CE provider can be challenging. AATBS, a triad company, offers continuing education for psychologists, social workers, marriage and family therapists, counselors, and behavior analysts. CE courses are available both individually and as part of our new All Access Pass. All Access Pass provides a library of over 250 unique courses. That's more than 800 hours of CEs, with new courses being added every month. As a special offer, Behavioral Health Today listeners can save 15% on CE purchases. Visit us at aatbs.com/BHT and enter promo code BHT15 during checkout. That's aatbs.com/BHT. Check out our library and check off your CE requirements today.
As as we begin to wind down today, in terms of those practitioners that are listening to our show, and there's a range with those, again, starting out to those that have got some age on us, regardless of where we are in terms of time in service, what is one question that you'd encourage us to ask of ourselves today as we walk away from this podcast, listening to it together? What's the one question you'd have us ask ourselves?
I would ask yourself, why am I doing this?
Good.
And the this in that is anything that you're doing, I guess in your profession or life, but I'm thinking more profession. If you don't know the best use of your time and your money, where you're getting the biggest ROI, then you are missing out in so many different ways. So for example, there's a solo practitioner, you know, they've been in practice for 20 some years. They're still answering the phone. They're still doing all these things. They always have a waiting list. They are on insurance. What would they ask themselves? Why am I doing this? Why am I on insurance? Okay, yeah, you have a waiting list, and private pay people would pay you almost $200 a session, but you're still taking $87. Why are you on insurances? Why am I doing this? Why am I taking out the trash? Why am I answering the phones? Why am I the one that's doing all this? Because honestly, if you saved yourself one extra hour and then saw someone at $200 an hour, you could probably pay someone for 10 hours a week. So that's that right. 1 hour just bought you 10 hours. So yeah. What if you aggressively did that at every level and said, what is the highest use of my time? Is it just doing the clinical work, or is there something even bigger for me? When you're spending your energy bank and you're spending your time bank on things that don't matter and aren't your top thing, that makes it that your impact on the world is less than it could be. And so I want people to actively take hats off. I want them to stop being their own accountant. I want them to stop being their own attorney. I want them to stop doing their own social media. Some of that we can help people with. Some of that, you know, we would say, here's who you should go work with. But in this world, there is no reason to be doing all of those piddly little things when you are a rock star in a couple of particular areas. And I want people to be a rock star in the areas where they are a rock star.
Really good. Really good. That's a great takeaway. Folks, when you go to Joe's site, you're going to see so many resources, but one of them that I particularly love, it's your tools that are labeled as tools to start a private practice. What you've done is you've vetted those business tools that are essential to running a private practice, from website design to phone services to billing solutions, and even resources and tools for growing a private practice. In addition, what are some of the resources you might kind of draw people's attention to? And give us your site again, if you would, please.
Yeah, so the site's practiceofthepractice.com. I'd say if you are confused, you don't know what to do next, we actually, Jess, my director of details, the little pop-up in the bottom right, it says, ask us a question. She is sitting there hanging out, waiting for people to ask questions. So literally, if you don't know what to do, just go to the site and click on talk to us. And if she's not there for some reason, she will be within a couple hours, unless it's the middle of the night. So yeah. I would, if you're confused, you can go there. If you're just getting started, I would say Next Level Practice would be the next step for you. And you can go sign up for the wait list for that. We open it just a couple times a year. Our next cohort opens in June. And then the next one after that is in November. So you can go to practiceofthepractice.com/invite. It has everything on there, has testimonials. You get a good idea of it. So that would be the best step for people that are just getting started, unless they wanted that 28-step checklist, which that's at practiceofthepractice.com/start. I'd say for anyone that is in kind of the group practice and up, it's worth us just having a conversation, whether that's with me or one of our other four consultants, to figure out where the best ROI is for your time and money. We are firm believers, and we want you to get the best ROI for your time and money. We're not going to upsell you. We have more than enough people that are applying. We just want you to be in the right spot. So if you just go to practiceofthepractice.com/apply, you'll see an application there. We'll ask a whole bunch of questions about kind of what you're looking for, what you're hoping to do. You know, what's your annual revenue now? What do you hope it will be? And then we'll have a conversation. We'll say, here's some low-hanging fruit. We'll give you actual advice. We don't say, oh, we'll tell you after you pay us. No, we give you good advice. And if you think we're a fit, then we'll work together. And if we think it's a fit on our side as well. So really, we'd love to have a conversation with anyone that is looking to get some extra help. We have so many services that it's easier for us to just have a conversation and say, here's where you should spend your time and money to save you as much time as we can.
Really good. Hey, just before we close, your book, Thursdays is the New Friday, coming on October, but there's an opportunity to pre-order. Tell us about that part.
Yeah. So Thursday is the new Friday. It's all about how kind of the next step in business evolution is the 4-day work week. Up until the 1800s, almost everyone worked 6 or 7 days a week, and they worked about 10 to 14 hour days. Henry Ford in 1926 got us the 40-hour work week. Awesome. But we've outgrown that. We've seen that with COVID. The next step is a 4-day work week. And so we really walk through how do you work less, make more, and have the lifestyle you want. I mean, right now I live out of a camper traveling the nation doing what I enjoy. It's very practical, but we also look at a lot of the research. We look at a lot of the history. Just for example, the 7-day week was totally made up by the Babylonians. They made it up. They thought there's only 7 major celestial beings in the sky. So they said, let's have 7-day weeks. The Egyptians had an 8-day week. The Romans, they had a 10-day week. It's totally arbitrary. And so the book walks through how we made this all up and we can make up what we want moving forward. We don't have to live the script of a 40-hour work week, which is less than 100 years old. Like, it feels like what's normal to us, but the reality is it's not. We can create whatever we want, and the world is shifting in this direction. We've looked at a bunch of different companies. One quick story, Kalamazoo Valley Community College in Kalamazoo, Michigan. There was an HVAC janitor who started looking at how they did their HVAC system. And he realized that if they had 4-day work weeks in the summer across the entire college, it could save millions of dollars. He took it to the board, and for about 5 years, all summer, all staff get 4-day work weeks. And they save millions of dollars by doing that. And there's all these other examples of businesses, people that have started to work less, but as a result, their businesses have totally exploded. So Thursday is the new Friday.com is where we're going to have all of those links. Wherever you buy books, it's through HarperCollins. So Amazon, wherever you want to go, get it. It'll be there. But Thursday is the new Friday.com is where you're going to be able to get that starting in midsummer.
That's great. Congratulations on the book. It's really good.
Thank you.
Well, folks, as I said at the beginning of our time today, we're going to be talking with a guy that's got a great heart for his mental health colleagues. That's not hard to see, is it? And a real passion for his colleagues and those in this field to really experience the fullest potential in their professional lives. And Joe, we sure appreciate you being with us today. It's been a great time.
Oh, this has been amazing.
Been great. We'll look forward to coming back and talking about some of the money issues. And as we bring the show to a close, I want to thank you for listening in. And we really appreciate you joining us as always. And we'll look forward to having you join us next time on Behavioral Health Today.
We appreciate all the support from our community. And if you like our show, one of the best ways you can support it is by giving us a 5-star rating and leaving a review. Behavioral Health Today is a podcast part of the Tribe Network, all rights reserved.